We are up to Perek Yud Gimel. We are in the middle. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. 13:13:26. Yud Kei Vav Kei. A person... Oh, I didn't take out the microphone. All right, we'll do without the microphone until later. Forgot about the microphone. Baz l'davar yechav eloy. A person who despises something... A person who is baz l'davar, who despises a davar, the end will be he will be injured by the object which he despises. A person has no person. We'll see the rei mitzvah who yishulam. On the other hand, in contrast, a person who is a yari shemai, who is yari mitzvah, he's afraid of a mitzvah. In other words, he's afraid to make sure that. We'll see the mitzvahs in more detail. It means he has respect, he has awe for the mitzvah. Yishulam, he will be rewarded. Okay, let's take a look at the mitzvahs for a more precise translation. A person who despises one of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's causing harm to himself. A person does not have respect for a mitzvah, he's causing no one else but himself harm. Aval hayari min ha-mitzvah, a person who is afraid of a mitzvah, in other words, he does not want to lose out. The yiri here is afraid of losing out of the mitzvah, megadol ma'alasa, and he elevates its greatness. Yeshulam loy sochar, gam bavur zeh, he will be rewarded for this. He'll be rewarded, seemingly rewarded for the fear itself. The year, the anticipation, and the agony he has over not being mekayem mitzvah, that itself will be reward. Person is always afraid. Person never misses a minyan. You're afraid. Oh no, where am I going to go? I'm going away out of town. My schedule is not so good. I might not be able to daven mincha with a minyan. I might not be able to daven ma'ariv with a minyan. It causes him tsar. And he tries to rearrange his schedule. So according to the mitzvahs, it's saying over here that tsar, that agony that a person has, they may not be able to fulfill the mitzvah the way he likes, the way he prefers, in its pure state, is itself a source of reward. Okay, let's see the Rashi first. Rashi, Baz l'davar yechav eloy, ha-boiz echad midivrei Torah, a person that is boiz, that despises one of the words, one of the mamari chazal. In other words, unfortunately, to some degree, many, we are guilty of this sometimes. We hear Maimon Chazal, and we make fun of it. We say, this is nonsense. This doesn't apply, this man has said. This, how could this possibly be true? That's a terrible thing. That is a disgrace. If we have something we don't understand, the chesaron is not in the Maimon Chazal. The chesaron is in us, that we do not understand it. Ha-boyz ze'echad midivrei Torah, soif, Mimashkin alav, he will. Now here is a very important Rashi. Rashi takes over here the word yechovel loy, not to mean to be injured, a chavala, as the mitzudos. Rashi here is coming to differ with the mitzudos. The mitzudos says the word yechovel meloshen chavala umaka. Rashi says loshen of a mashkin, he will be taken as collateral. In other words, his neshama. His neshama or his assets, whatever they may be taken from him as a collateral, as payment for the sin of being mevaza, one of the words of one expression, one mimer from the words of Chazal. On the other hand, yari mitzahu yishulam yikabel sochar. The word yishulam over here means he will receive reward. Period. Medrash Tehillim Darish Baz L'Davar Yichav Bo Al David Shamar. So here he's going into the Medrash, which we're going to see. I want to elaborate in much more details, referring very specifically to an incident when David was running away from Shaul, and he went to the Pelishtim, to Ochish, to the king Ochish of the. He was the king of the Pelishtim, Vayevol Ochish, and he thought that maybe Ochish will take him in, and then he realized he made a big mistake. Ochish wanted also to kill David. So what did he do? He was mispalel. He knew that Ochish had a daughter that was deranged. Ochish had a daughter that was locked up in the house that was what they called a meshugah. And she was, it was a mental illness. Unfortunately, we all know about this. but she was deranged. And David said that Achish obviously was losing his mind from his daughter. He was going crazy because of his daughter. So David figured that would be the best tactic, that he also will make believe that he's Meshuggah. And when he sees another Meshuggah, he would say, oh no, I can't take this anymore. So David was mispalo to Hashem to give him a taste of insanity. Now, I left out the Hakdamah to this. When David, years ago, David had a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you allow in this world a illness called mental illness? Why did you allow there to exist such a mitzvah in this world? David was buzz ledavar. He despised this matter. He had complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding this matter of mental illness. And Hashem said to David, David, there's a need for this in the world. And to give just a token example, obviously when Hashem told him there's a need for it, we don't really understand what this means. Hashem and his master plan, there's a need for it in a much greater sense, and much greater than just a small incident of David HaMelech. But Hashem, at least in a small microscopic level, degree, said, David, one day you will need to come on to this mental illness. When David was taken captured by Achish, David said, David feigned insanity, and that was his key to success. Okay. That's, yeah.
So feigned insanity.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not really clear what it means. You know, it's not really clear what it means. Maybe Achish.
That's how I always understood it.
Yeah, that's how also I understood it. But is that the way we understand it as children, when we're younger, is that really the pshat? Maybe when David asked for insanity, David was asking for the real thing. Today, you know, an expert can tell if you're a faker. You go to a doctor, you go to a mumch in any field. A mumcha can tell you if you're for real, you're a faker. Someone comes and feigns insanity. A kid comes to school and doesn't want to take a test. I'm not feeling well. I have a stomach ache. Kindergarten can have a stomach ache. Is he really have a stomach ache? Or the kid is just looking to go home? Yeah. He changed his frame of mind. So does that mean it was make-believe, or it was the real deal? He asked Hashem to give him a real, to inject in him real mental illness, at least for the moment, at least for a tkufa period of time, so that he'll pass all the experts. You can imagine, Achish Melech Kush, he had at his disposal the biggest experts in the world working to heal his daughter. We have no question about that. The mumchim of the world were there, and now we got a new patient in front of us. So they can right away sniff him out. Is this guy for real? Or is this guy faking it? I'm just suggesting something. Maybe David, he couldn't fake it in front of the mumchim. He had the real thing. David was misspelled, Hashem, give me the real deal. At least for a tkufa, for 24 hours, what?
Temporarily,
of course. Oh, obviously, temporarily. In order that David will be able to use this as a way for his ticket to escape his captivity. I'm just suggesting this because if you look very carefully, look see the Rashi. Rashi here says, "Medrash Agada, Medrash Tilm Dorish, Boz Ladavar Yichav Eloi Al David Sheamar Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribayne Shalaylam Mo Hano B'Shoytim Shabaros." So, what pleasure, what benefit is there in this world? This thing called Shoytim that you created, Amulo Chayecha. By your own life, David, you're going to need to become a fool. When you're going to come for Achish, you're going to need to lehish tagea, to make believe or to act in a state of insanity. The yoyred riroy al zigna, his saliva would drool on his beard. The goimer, and when the conclusion was the famous words of Achish, chasar mishugoyim ani, do I lack? Meshugayim here. He had his own daughter that was a Meshuggah. And therefore, that was David's escape.
Says in Chasam here.
Yes. That's where it comes from. If I'm not mistaken, that's the only place in Tanakh where it says, well, no, not the only place. But Meshuggah. And the Torah it says, V'yisa Meshuggah Marinecha. It could be this other place in Tanakh as well. But in the Torah it says it. V'yisa Meshuggah Marinecha, the Teichacha. Now, the reason why I told you that it wasn't just making believe, because you go to the Gemara, it's really the Yalkut Shmoini, it says in very strong words, David said, David, what do you want to do? You're in a very difficult situation. Tain li. You hear these words? Yalkut Shmoini, tain li ma'at me'oso davar. Now, it doesn't mean to make believe.
Where that is, it's probably...
Tain li. Those are the words I have over here in the Yalkut Shmoni.
I'm looking at that, but it's probably yeah. In Shmuel.
Shmuel Alf, yeah, Shmuel. Yeah, Shmuel Alf, Reish Mem, Zayin, Kuf, Remez, Kuf, Lamed Alf. Ayin Rashi. Tain li. Now, the word Tain li is a very strong word. It doesn't mean, help me make belief. You know, I don't need Hashem to help me make belief. I mean, Hashem for everything, but I can do that on my own. Tainly means I really want to suffer the real deal in order to project myself as an insane person to get out of this situation. Okay, so that's why I think those words really triggered this idea that I presented to you. So let's now go now. There's another very nice idea. If I'm not mistaken, this comes from the Gra. I saw this in the Art Scroll. Baz ledavar yichavelo. Now we learned over here the translation yichav means to take collateral. To take collateral that. Buzz, Ladover, and let me just go a step further. Let me just translate it more precisely, according to Rashi. Misha Buzz, Ladover, Soifa, I'm reading from a parish, you don't have this in front of you. Sheyitstarech, Lemashkein, Nechasav, Bishviloi. According to Rashi, Rashi says what Yechavel means to give away your possessions as collateral in order to acquire the object which you have despised. You have an object, and you make litzanis of it, and now you need it. And you need it, your degree of need is so great, not only are you willing to give away all of your money to acquire it, you're willing to give away the shirt off your back as collateral in order to take possession of the object which in the past you despised. Never make fun of a person, of a profession, of anything in this world. You'll never know when you will need to come on to that thing which you despise or which you made little of. Ad kedei kach yachvol. You'll have to give away your prized possessions as collateral, as a mashkin, in order to attain this object that you now need. Okay, that's the simple interpretation of that, at least the way Rashi learns this pasuk. Yechavel, you will give as collateral. The Mitzuda says yechavel means harm. If you despise something, that object which you despise will one day come back to harm you. Will one day come back to injure you. Okay, you have to think of different stories in Mishlam. To haunt you. You know, it's a Mishmishle. I didn't come across anything. It's really great to have all these books today touched by a story by Phil Spiro. And they have stories on everything. On the Parsha, they have stories on Kinois. For every Kino, they have stories. And they have stories. They take everything today and they make it into a springboard for stories. Mishle would be a great candidate. On what? Mishalim, on what?
Anecdotal
stories. All right, Rabbi Riskin, interesting. Okay, so it'll be very good to have a nice little a book, a lot of stories on Mishle. Maybe one day we'll see someone put out a book like this because there's been so much material. Okay, let's go further. Now, the Gra has a very nice interpretation. The Gra says, there's a famous Chaim Maim Chazal, that there are 248 limbs in the body. Reish Mem Ches Evarim. And 365 Gidin. But there are 248 Evarim. What Evarim exactly are, obviously, is not so simple. Even the doctors probably have a hard time figuring out how to break up the body into 248 limbs. But Chazal tells us this is a fact. And each one of the mitzvahs asay gives life. When you mekayim a mitzvah, there are 365 lois asay, 248 mitzvahs asay. Every time you guard yourself from a lois asay, then you are being mechazek one of the gidin. Every time you are mekayim a mitzvah asay, you're giving life to one of your evarim. For example, in fact, some of the mefarshim, they try to match up which mitzvah it connects to which eva. For example, Gid Hanoshe. Gid Hanoshe corresponds, the Isser of Gid Hanoshe is corresponds, how does it go again? Not eating Gid Hanoshe corresponds to the mitzvah of Bris Mila, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, I think something along those lines. Okay.
It's allowed, so it's...
Oh, that's an A there. An A is a Gid. Okay, you're right. I'm not sure.
Gid Hanoshe is Gid. I mean, that's an obvious one.
No, but that don't eat from the Gid Hanoshe. So
the Gid Hanoshe... Which Gid does it correspond to your body?
No, the bris milah is not mitzvah say. Okay, I don't know. I take it back. Okay. Okay, I take it back. I'm not sure. Whatever it is. But okay, there are different. There are different mamarei chazal that are trying to match up certain mitzvahs to certain parts, certain ivarim, whatever wherever they may be. So when a person is on the other end, of a person is not mekayim one particular mitzvah, he's that aver is lacking. That aver lacks a given a certain chiyus. So that's exactly what the pasuk is according to the Gra. Baz the dov, a person is baz the dov. It's a particular mitzvah. He has in front of him 248 mitzvahs, and there's one mitzvah that he's not a big fan of. Chas v'shalom. This is not his mitzvah, and he's nichshol. He's not mekayim the mitzvah the way it should be fulfilled. You're hurting yourself. Yechov Eloi. That aver in your body that corresponds to that particular mitzvah will now be injured, will now suffer. He'll need to go to the doctor for refuah for that particular aver. On the other hand, the rei mitzvah, a person who's afraid not to be mekayim a mitzvah, hu yeshulam, his body, he is a healthy person. Since he's careful, he's afraid not to miss out on a single mitzvah, every single mitzvah is fulfilled, every single one of his limbs have schis, memela yeshulam, he is an ish sholem. Not as Rashi says, sholem means reward. Reward will come to him. It means physically, he is, vayavo Yaakov sholem ir shechem, he is a healthy, complete individual. All right, that's one very nice idea.
You need to develop a whole medical.
What?
Medical procedures based on this.
You have to figure which mitzvah you did.
You go
to the doctor, doctor, and they, this is the aver, so you have to know which exactly who's going to diagnose. Time of the Beis Hamikdash. Time of the Beis Hamikdash. So we had Ruach HaKodesh. You go to the Navi. The Navi was the doctor. The Navi will tell you, this is what you're suffering from. This is the Aver you did. Do tshuva for this Aver and you'll be healed. That's the way it was. That's the way it was. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk is Torah Chacham Mekor Chayim. Pasuk Gidal, the Torah of the Chacham is the source of life. Lasur Mimoik Shei Maves, his Torah, if you seek out the wisdom of the Chacham, not only is it the source of life, it will allow you to depart from the snares of death. Death is always lurking out there, always trying to ensnare us, and the only way we can turn away is from the Torah Chacham. Let's take a look. This sounds more like you go to a Talmud Chacham, Das Torah. The instruction. Taras means instruction. Taras is instruction. Go to Chacham, it gives you instruction. This is Mekor Chaim, Lasur Mimok Shemav. Let's see the Mitzvah of Yudalit. Mekor Hiki Mekor Hanoveya Chaim. It's like a wellspring which flows with life. Ki Talmudo, Lasur, his instruction, his teaching is Lasur Mehamok Shem, Hamevime Samisa Vehem. What?
Thank you.
Ki Talamda, he will teach you the Chaim, the Torah of the Chacham. Talamda will teach you Lasur Mehamoikshim, to stay away from the snares, to avoid the stumbling blocks, the snares, the traps. Hameviim Es Hamisa, which bring upon man death, the Heim Ho'avoinos, and those that were, what are the Mokshim in this world? Sins, Averos. A Chacham will give you advice how to stay away from sinning. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yudal, the Torah. Yeah?
There's a nice Mikrokhan Belozhim there. That there was someone in Belozhim that wasn't well. He was suffering on the lungs. And there's a Machlokes, one of the Sirchus is a machlokes between the
Shach and the Taz.
No, there's a machlokes actually
between Mechaber and the Ramah. Certain Sircha. So since this person had exactly this Sircha, if you live
Volozhin,
in
the Volozhin, the what do you call
it? Treif.
No, in Volozhin it's not Treif.
Ah, so because go to Volozhin.
No, the Shagas Arya went according to the Mechaber, not the Ramah.
Okay.
And therefore, in Volozhin, they went according to the Shagas Arya because he had once been rough there. So, Rav Chaim Volozhin has said, if you stay here in town,
the halacha is a treifa. It's a treifa.
You're not treifa.
Oh, you're not treifa. So stay here.
And if you go away, you're a treifa.
Okay.
And therefore, he stayed in the lozenge.
And he lived happily ever after. It's a good story. Okay, there's another story. This is a very famous story. They call it in the Mishle. They do often try to bring in stories. That's one of the nice things in the footnotes in the Art School Mishle. That's what they do. They bring down little stories in the Art School Mishle by Rabbi Ginsburg. On the bottom in the footnotes, most of the footnotes they bring up stories to connect them to the pasuk. So the story they have, this is a very famous story of Moshe Feinstein. That in Russia he was a rav before he came to America. In his younger years he was a rav in Russia. I don't know exactly where. And there was a person in the community that was Jewish, of course, and a self-hating Jew, and made a lot of trouble for the Jewish community, for the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And he wanted to cause trouble even in his death. So he instructed the Chevra Kadisha, he told the last will and testament, when I die, I want you to bury me upside down, face down. This was his opinion. He was a very wicked man, it seems. Gave a lot of tzaris to the community. So the Chevra Kadisha, he died, and the Chevra, everyone said, Baruch Shepatrani, Me'ein Shalzeh, finally. And the Chevra Kadisha received instructions from the family that he wants to be buried upside down, and they were very willing to do it. They went to Rav Moshe, who was the Rav, and they just said, they wanted to clear Rav Moshe, should we do this? This was his last will and testament. Rav Moshe says, absolutely not. That's not the halacha. The halacha is buried up, face up. And that's what you do. No, even though they'll put your feelings aside, he put his instructions inside, this is what you do. They buried him right side up. Shortly after he was buried, the government came to the community and they said, we heard that we have rumors that you buried his person upside down. You wanted to disgrace him in his death, which is a crime. I don't know what the crime was, whatever it was.
No, because he was the executioner.
So he was part of the government, and this is a terrible disgrace, and therefore we want to open up the grave. And indeed, they opened up the grave, and he was right side up. So the whole catastrophe, the whole pogrom, was avoided only because of the advice of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So in the story, in the Art School begins, he ties that story directly into this pasuk, Toiras Chacham, the instruction of the wise man is a makor chayim, is a source of life. I guess the play on the word, we're dealing with death and life. This person died, he wanted to cause trouble in his death for the living, but it could have been a very big tsar. It's makor chayim, lasur mimoik shemav, is to turn away from the snares of death. I'll just go inyan. I saw a very nice story over the weekend. I read this in a magazine, in Am magazine, I think, by Kamenetsky. Kamenetsky has a very nice column, Streets of Life. And just recently took all of his column, all of his things, he published it in a book. So the story is a simple story, but I like the end of the story. It really, really got me. The last words of the last two words of the story really hit me.
Hit home.
Simple story. There were two elderly people, and they were in a coil in Queens. There was a coil for Jungleit, for Mechanchen. They taught in the morning, and they studied in the afternoon. And in this coil joined, they were not the two elderly people, very in their 90s. They also came to sit and learn. And these two people, they hated one another. A sinas moves. And the coil, it took time for them to figure out that these two people, in their 90s, cannot sit at the same table. And each one became a dependent on the, because they were 90 years old and they needed favors to pick up their medication, to take them home. So it became a problem because, sometimes the people who were helping them out came in contact with both of them and there was always a conflict. To make a long story short, one guy wanted to go to the Beis HaKvaris to visit his wife. He was 90 years old. And they, Hashkocha brought this, it turned out that it was discovered, they both reserved for themselves burial plots, and the burial plots were literally next to each other. So he claims a true story. He goes through the effort of making this a true story. The burial plots were next to each other. I guess they came from the same background years ago. And they were same society, and these two people were in shock. And now they had a bigger problem. Not only they hate each other, for no one knew why they hate each other, but that they're soon they're soon going to die. They're in their 90s. And so the Rav. Okay, so again, this story I wouldn't be telling you the story. Okay, it's a nice story, whatever, big deal. There are a million stories like this. Okay, but this is what I'm getting to the punchline that I really, at least me, I can't speak for you. So the Rav of the shul, he figured out what's going on, and he basically he made peace between them. He sat them down, and he forced them to make shalom. Long conversation. At the end, they made shalom, and they shook their hand. They shook each other's hand, and the Rav said, "Nu drink l'chaim." So the first one says l'chaim, and the other one says l'chaim. Ulamavis oichet. So how often do you have a l'chaim and a l'mavis? Okay, so that's why it triggered that memory. We learn over here this story. Torah schach mekor chayin, and death also sometimes. The Torah of the instruction of the chacham is the source of life, and it's the source of death also. Peace and death. Lasur mimod shem aves. Exactly. Like I told you, I wouldn't even bother. This wouldn't even register. After I read that last time, you know, let's go back and read the story a little more carefully. This is a good story, right? Normally, you have a story; it's a good story. You come to the punchline, and you're very disappointed. It's like, what? That's the end of the story. How unsatisfying. Here. No, the end was good. Let's go back and see what the story really said. Okay, let's go further in this pasuk. That's pasuk of Hiroshkam L'chacham B'kar Chaim L'osur M'mokshimovis pasuk Tes Zvav. Seichel Tov Yitin Chen. Good wisdom, intellect, or advice. Seichel Tov Yitin provides Chen. The derech b'yigdim, but the way of the treacherous, the people who sin. Eson means harsh, mighty, harshness.
Mighty strength.
Yes. Okay, Eson means strength, but in this context, it's the opposite. It's a very interesting word. What exactly? The son of we always use the word Eson to mean strength. Is that the real meaning of the word? Maybe Eson. Maybe over here in this pasuk, you always have to know where is the pasuk, the real meaning of the word, and where is the borrowed expression. Where is it? So here we have the word Eson. Eson over here doesn't mean strength.
Yeah.
It means it's rough. It means it's the opposite of chayin. There's a contrast. There's chayin. Chayzik. So what does it mean chayzik here? It doesn't mean strong in the positive sense. It means they're cold.
Powerful.
Cold. Not more powerful, but it means, what is chayin? You like a person.
Grace.
You like a charm. You like him because you like him. Chayin comes matnas chinam. What is the opposite of chayin? He's a cold-blooded person. He has no crude. There's no warmth. You just don't like the person. You're not comfortable sitting him in the room. He's like a stone. A stone. What is a stone? A stone is something that's very strong.
Right.
And very cold.
Strong, it has no life, it has no chayin. So we always use the word eson to mean strength. But in this context, I don't know if this is the original use of the word, or maybe this is the borrowed use of the word, but it's very interesting in how it's being used here. It's being used here as a contrast to chayin. Instead of having warmth, charm, grace, cold, blooded, person we have no connection to. That's what it says here in this pasuk. Seichel tov, why wisdom, intellect, yiten chen v'derech boigdim is eson. Let's see over here the mitzvah pasuk tes vav.
Seichel tov uses the expression.
Yeah.
Ha'eson hu amokei makosha asher lo ye'aved by lo yizor.
That's another interpretation. Okay, so that's another. He's coming to give another interpretation where it's not, you can't,
nothing
grows.
Penetrates.
Nothing grows. There's no room to work. Mm-hmm. You have a child. The child can develop. You can work with the person. You can soften him up. Mm-hmm. You can nurture a person. But a person who is a boygate, there's nothing to work. There's no potential. He's just rotten to the core.
No, he continues.
They're not susceptible to receive anything. Okay. That's the idea. Let's see how we limit to this. Pasuk Yud Hezvav Seichel Tov HaSeichel HaToiv Sheyesh La'adam Hu Yitin Ois Ois L'chein Ve'enei Kol. That Seichel will allow him to give. A harsh, a hard place, the place that you cannot plant anything. Nothing grows. It's a location in which nothing grows.
And the Ibn Ezra also uses something similar. He says, "V'chazav darkam shehamaskil lo yuchal la'ashivam miderech habgida b'sichlo."
You can't deal with the person. There's no one to talk to. Deaf ears. He's closed. Just like this earth.
Cold and hard.
Haseichel, let's see over here the mitzvah. Haseichel tatoiv sheyesh la'adam hu yitin oso l'chein. The seichel tov person yitin l'chein be'enei kol. This seichel tov gives a person chein, charm, grace in the eyes of others. The im kol zeh derech haboydim hu chazak me'od. The way of the sinners is strong. Lo yoyel bo'abal haseichel im sichloi v'roif chinoi l'hasira miderech ahu. The man in the beginning of the pasuk does not have the ability to penetrate the boik. It's an interesting way the Ramatzul is learning from the pasuk. He's saying that the beginning of the person in the beginning of the pasuk is trying his best to affect, to soften up, to loosen up, to penetrate the stubborn thickness of the person in the end of the pasuk, but fails to do so because he's like a rock. He's thick like a rock. Nothing can enter into him and can penetrate. Mitsudo says, he's strong. Nothing can penetrate. He's not susceptible.
Impenetrable.
Look at the Rashi, Pashi.
Like an immovable object.
His mind is, you can't get to him. You can't open him up. Impenetrable. Pasuk Rashi pasuk tez vav derech bogdim eisan kosheloy v'lachem ulachem is kosheloy ulachem is difficult to him. Who's the low in this Rashi? Kosheloy uleacherim. Maybe the person. Aha, that's what he means. V'derech bogdim eisan, the person that he sins against. He deceives. Mm-hmm. He harms. Kosheloy v'lachem, everyone else. He's bad all around. Don't be in his company. Okay, let's go to pasuk tes zayin. Kol adam yaseh vodah. This is a famous pasuk. Kol adam means every arum over here. We had many times in Sefer Mishlei. Does not mean naked. Arum over here means clever. Mm-hmm. Every clever person yaseh vodah. He acts with wisdom. Uchasil, a foolish person, yifros ivelas. Ivelas is foolishness. Yifros can have multiple meanings. Simply over here means he broadcasts. He lets the world know. He lets the world, he gets on the microphone, he sends out an email to all of his friends. I'm a shaita. That's exactly what a lot of those, there are. Uchasil, yifrois, yivelis. Now that's one interpretation, means he spreads it out. He spreads it, he lets the world know. To broadcast, that's a great word. To broadcast his foolishness. Another translation, which really is the more simple and probably the more precise, means he increases. He increases. He's not satisfied with just a high school diploma in being a fool. he wants a PhD. He wants a master's. He wants a postdoctorate in stupidity. So yifros means to add, to be moisif. That's not the same translation as broadcast. That's a different type of translation, obviously. Okay, but they're both correct. It means to spread. That means, well, that's to spread out. Okay, but in this context, it means either to spread out, that's to broadcast, or it means to add more. I want to intensify, to expand. Okay, let's see if the Mitzudas Pasik. Good morning, how are you? But let's see if the Mitzudas Pasik Te Zayin Kol Arum Masse Ha'arum. The deeds of a clever person, heima b'das v'kavanam yuchedes, and then with precision, kavanam yuchedes v'im ki lo yivinu kol. Even if not everyone under this ra, the mitzvahs over here is adding a very, very deep insight. Even if not everyone understands it. Sometimes when you see people behave in a certain way, you don't understand why do they do that. It doesn't make any logical sense. But if you know that they are a clever person, you have faith that they're acting with chokhmah. Everything is with a cheshbain. You go somewhere, why? I went away this week, so it was set up. I was very disturbed. I came to a simcha, and it was set up in a very disturbing way. It looked like the caterer, he forgot to add a whole bunch of chairs in a certain section. Why would he do that? People need to maximize the seats. Why is it missing? And then when they finished the ceremony, everyone started dancing in that area. And then I realized, everything is at the cheshbon. The vidavka, there was no seats. It's to the onlooker, someone who comes for the ceremony, you think, this is just why they're missing seats. You can maximize those seats. No, those seats were left out because that's going to be where the dancing will take place. Everything is with a cheshbon, with chokhmah. And that's exactly what it says in Orum. A person who's clever, Yasev, that's if you don't understand it, the chesaron is in you, not in the clever person. He has already proven himself to be a wise man. That is the deeper insight of the Mitzudos David. But let's go further. Avala the last, Avala Kasil, Pores with the sin. Pores ivaltoi lemani akiru hakol ki ivelesu. Pores, according to this, means he broadcasts. He broadcasts. He spreads out his foolishness to make it known to the entire world that he is a fool. That's the nature. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you are a fool than open it and remove all doubt. So this is the problem of the kesil. Rashi, I think, says the other parish. Rashi says pasuk tezvav kol adam yasev das maseyu kugoy David yivakshu ladni hamel. I'll tell you the Medrash one moment. Let's just put that aside for a moment. Tell you the Medrash. He's comparing it to Achashverosh. Rashi is not giving us the full Medrash. Well, he will. He is next. We're Rashi Chasil give for us. Let's say Achashverosh, the Yafkeid, Hamelech Pikidim, B'chol Medina Yismalchu. So what?
I think that's an Esther
Rabba. Okay, so we'll discuss it for a moment. Yoidim Hoyushlo Yisal Kulam. Everyone knew that they would not marry only all of them, and yet Achashverosh wanted to live with all of them. So anyone, any father of a daughter would say, stay far away. Umishayulaybas, Hitmini, when I had a daughter, would hardly know. What's the situation? We have David. David, Blaze Ziknai was old. David needed a Sechenes, he needed a young woman. And Achashverosh wanted a queen. So what was their approach to finding for themselves a new? Each one basically wanted a wife. What was their approach? David said, "I only want one. They wanted to bring another woman. What was David's approach? David's approach was, "I'm only going to take one. I'm not going to live with any of them. I only go on." So if every father had a daughter, maybe my daughter would be right to be the queen. Once she'll be selected, she's set for life, and maybe from her will come malchus. Who knows what can come from her? So, and if the king does not want her, nothing will happen to her. No harm done. So every single one took their daughter and lined up in front of the palace and presented his daughter to David's men for selection, inspection, tryout, maybe. So that was a great chokhmah, because now everyone brought forth their daughters. Achashverosh, the fool, said, "I'm only going to marry one, but I'm going to live with them all." So shaita to say such a thing like that. So you live with them all. You're only going to take one. Any father, I don't want my daughter to be defiled by this person. So everyone went and hid their daughter. So what was the end? The end was al piderech hateva. He would have had no one. He would have been only left with the worst. As a miracle, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashgacha Pratis, said Esther Amalka was selected. That's another story. But the approach, the tactic, the plan was a foolish plan, contrast to the plan of David. That was a wise plan, and that the Medrash ties directly into this pasuk. The Odom Yasev Adas is David, Uchasil Yifros Iveles is Achashverosh. Okay, that is one interpretation. Now there's another interpretation, and this we interpret in reference to Yaakov. Yaakov We only interpret this in reference to the beginning of the pasuk. Yaakov, with last week's pasha, when he came to Esav, he prepared his messengers to confront his brother Esav. He sent a lavish gift. And how did he present the gift? The gift was v'revach tosimu bein eder le'eder. Chazal discussed that this was a brilliant plan in order to satisfy the eye, to make more out of what you have, to make the gift look larger than it really is. Okay, this is marketing. This is the major thing. Someone want to say it's not proper ethics to package something in a way that makes it look more appealing than it really is. That's absolutely incorrect. And the Makar to show that comes from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu went, when he presented the gift, he made the most out of the gift. The packaging was the best it can possibly be. It was revach bein eder le'eder, in order to make the gift appear as to the mind to be very, very great.
Because it is
to wealth.
Packaging.
To packaging. Well, very good. That's a very good point. So are we all. So are we all. I once went somewhere and they took some lessons in marketing and explained to us that you'll never see in a store potato chips in a clear plastic bag. Maybe the Yeshiva brands, they do it, but all the major companies, they will never, because they've already
they blow up the bag too
to make it look more, because they've experimented extensively. And if you see the potato chips, you will not buy it. It doesn't work. It has to be colored. It has to be opaque. You can't have. On the other hand, orange juice, they have discovered, they sell a lot more orange juice in plastic containers than in the olden days when we grew up in the wooden cartons. Because if you have in front of a customer a nice, round, a big orange cap, a container of orange juice, and next to it you have the same orange juice in a white box with a little thing, it doesn't sell. People like to see the orange. They like to see that color. This is a tremendous chokhmah on every single product. You cannot be madame in the revach tasimu beinah. So this is marketing. This pasuk is the lesson 101 in marketing. Kol orum yaseh vedas. That's really what it says. Chazal gave a course in marketing. They said, let's look at Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, v'revach tosimu bein eder lo eder. More than that, it says, v'yitein b'yad avodav eder, eder levado. Okay, and then even in the eder levado, there was also revach tosimu bein eder lo eder. Yaakov had a master's in marketing. And Chazal say, what does it say on the degree? You know, you always have to have a slogan or some type of nusach on the degree you get in marketing. It says, "Kol orum yaseh vidas." Exactly what it says. A clever man knows how to present something to someone else. Yes, no matter what. Look, the truth is, the same thing comes to Jewish. When you give a public speaking, I once spoke somewhere, and the person gave me a compliment. Really, I get a compliment. He said to me, "The compliment was, what you said was total nonsense. It didn't make a word of sense. The idea was, but you put it over good. You put it over. You made a good try to put it out. But your content, you know."
Like Obama.
Asach geret in Gornish gezogt.
I felt good. At least, take a compliment because they're rare and few in between. Yeah, take whatever you can get. They don't come often. Yeah, but at least a sakura, you have to present it well. At least it should be pleasant to the ear. My father used to have an expression. He used to go sometimes to hear different lecturers, and he'd come back and he would tell me, "Eloquent baloney." That was one of my father always used to say that at home. Eloquent baloney. Basically, very nice. The vocabulary was second to none. But what did you say? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, but it's also a talent. The eloquence.
Yes, absolutely.
No question about it.
Absolutely.
You read some columns in magazines and newspapers. They're unbelievable. The writers how could someone write? Incredible. It's a tremendous koyach. But what do they say? What do they write? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Total nonsense. But it's worth something also. Let's go further. So this is called Adam Yaseh Vidas Uchsil Yifroisi Vels Malach. And now let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, one other idea. This is a short idea. This is really where it comes the idea of I told you, I didn't really tell you the source of the word Yifros means to add. But this can be found in the Gemara Masechta Nedarim, where the Gemara takes the word Uchsil as a code for kas, anger. Every time you have a fool, automatically you have to substitute it with the word, with the concept of anger. Why? It's a Farish Apostle. The Pasuk says, Kikas, Bechek, Kisilim Yenuach. Pasuk in Koheles, that Kas lies in the lap of a Kisil. So the Pasuk in Koheles says that they're synonymous. If you have a Kisil, you automatically have anger. Ooh, anger, now we go or the other way around. Now, once we have concept of anger, we go into a new area of Shulchan Aruch. Because we have a concept of a person is a koyes, ki'ilu oyved avodah zarah. That's one chazal. Go list off numerous memory chazal. Another chazal is, kol ha-koyes mishakeach talmudoi. A person gets angry, all of his hard years spent studying diligently, out the door. He causes kas, the emotion of kas causes the person to forget what he has learned. The male, what is a ksil doing? He's adding foolishness into his brain. It's not just he's, like we said before, broadcasting. According to the Gemara of Nedarim, this pasuk, the word yifros means he is moisif. How are you moisif? By emptying out the chokhmah that you've acquired through kas. How do we know we're dealing with kas? Because we're dealing with a kasil. And a kasil is synonymous with kas. It's like a complex, you know, it's like a dance. You're going from one step to the next step in order to bring out the idea. I'll read you the whole pasuk, the whole chazal of Racher, my kasil yifrois aiveles, omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah midivsi omar, kolakoyes mishakech talmudoi, umosif tipshos, shenemar, it comes from this pasuk, shenemar kikas bechek kisil yenuach, here he explains, zeg hakoyes nikro kasil, uksiv kasil yifrois aiveles, like we explained, the kasil, he adds foolishness by getting angry and forgetting what he learned, and that is a new degree of foolishness. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Malach Rosha Yibol Bira. A malach here means a messenger. An evil messenger will fall, Yibol Bira will fall in his own evil. Vitzir Emunim, a faithful messenger, Marpeh brings healing. The word tzir also means a messenger. We have two words here for messenger. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim. Literally, messengers. Who were the messengers? Rashi says, Malochim Mamish. So it means a messenger. A tzir is another word for a messenger. What is the deeper interpretation? I do not know. All I can say is look at the Mitzudos Sion. Inyin Sholiach. Malach Shaluach Alehem, a messenger that was sent to them. There in that context it means a messenger. And Tzir also, Gamhu Inyan Shaliach, Kmay Vitzir Bagayim Shaliach, a what's the word? Shulach is sent. A messenger to the nations is sent. So two words mean now. So we're contrasting a wicked messenger and a faithful messenger. Now what is the deeper meaning? The Mitzvah explains, elaborates, Pasuk Yitzayin, Shaliach Rosha HaMishaneh. To become wicked, you have to deviate from your mission. You were told to buy apples, and you buy oranges. You don't fulfill the mission. Shaliach Rosha HaMishaneh Midirei Mishalcho. You deviate from the mission. Lira'ah. For the evil, who biats mayibol beraha, he will suffer from his actions. Aval tzir me'anshe emunim, a messenger from the faith, from the faithful. Yirape o, now yirape here does not mean literally to heal physically, it means he will enhance, he will embellish, he will make better the message, he will Shakespeareize the words. Right here, the expression? I think Menachem Begin. If I'm not mistaken, Menachem Begin told Eshkol, he was his speechwriter, that was the one who wrote the book.
Yehuda.
The other way around?
Yehuda, what's his name?
I forgot all the names. I can't remember.
Book, a big fat
book. I can't remember the names. one, I think it was Menachem Begin, he told the speechwriter, listen, here are my ideas, here are my notes, take my notes, Shakespeareize them. That was his expression. So here, that's exactly what the zirape means, to Shakespeareize, to have a message, make the message as good as it can possibly be. If he sees that in his shlichus there is chulsha, Yehuda Avner. Okay, you looked it up online. Yehuda Dvar Chulsha. Mitzad Ma Yarpeena B'Nesek Haloshon. He will sweeten the words. He will sweeten the message. And you have the other way around. I have the famous story with, I don't remember all the names. I think it was Kissinger with Rav Aaron Cutler and Amos and Irving Bunim. Irving Bunim went to Kissinger and demanded that he do something for the Vat Hatzalah, for the rescue effort. Morgenthau, and he told him, and Avarenkoller spoke a rapid fire Yiddish, and he told Irving Bunim, tell him if he doesn't do this, he's going to lose his job. It's going to happen that Hashem's going to punish him. He's going to lose his job. And he said this. He said this to Irving Bunim in Yiddish in rapid fire, and he was fiery red to Irving in the presence, right in front of Morgenthau, the Secretary of
Treasury.
And Morgenthau. And he told him, and Irving Bunim didn't want to say it. I'm not going to go talk to him like this. And he said to him some diplomatic way, he says that the Rosh Hashiva, the rabbi, the rabbi would very much like if you can do this. So if Aaron Kollis sensed not saying it the way I said it, even though he did not know English, and he demanded, and he refused until the point where Morgenthau himself recognized that Rav Aaron Kala had something to say to him, and Irving Bunim refused to say he was sugarcoating it. Exactly was doing the Tzir Emunim Marpe, the Tzir Emunim. Irving Bunim was being a Tzir Emunim, he was being Marpe, he was sugarcoating the message. I want to hear exactly what he has to say. And then he said it. He did it. He did what he wanted. He listened to him. I don't remember the details. This is a long time ago since I read the book. There's fire in his soul. Unbelievable book. Unbelievable book.
But during the war, what did they really do before the Allies landed?
I don't remember. It's a long time. What? They did a cut. There were bribes.
On their way here.
Visas, there were things that could have been done, that were done, alright, whatever it is. But it's an interesting idea, but it's simuni ma'ape. Now there is one little var I saw, I love this, I was smiling from ear to ear, I saw this in the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll, Mishle, or Ginsberg, and the footnote has a little cute story, I don't know all these names, but Rav Zusha, who's Rav Zusha, I have no idea, was Rebbe Rav Zusha. He was a Talmud of the Magid Mezrich. How do you pronounce it?
Mezrich.
Mezrich. Okay, whatever. I can't pronounce this. Mezrich.
The Rebbe of Zusha was a brother of the Rebbe of Elimelech.
The Noyim Elimelech. So he used to. He went to visit. He made a pilgrimage every so often to the Magid Mezrich. He would come to visit him every so often. And it was a long journey. And when he went, you're going to the Magid, Rabbi Zusha, please bring a kvittel. Bring a kvittel for me to the Rebbe. So, of course, I'll take your kvittel. So, there he used to go. He used to take all his kvittelach with him. So, he goes, he's traveled. So, what do you do on the road? If you don't have an iPhone, you don't have an iPad, you don't have a New York Times, you look at the kvittelach. None of your business, right? But, listen, the people have nisyonos. So, on the way there, he opened up all the kvittelach and he read them. And he saw all the tzaras people had. And he was in the spalel. He comes to the Magid and he talks to the Magid. I have kvittelach for you. He gives to the Rebbe, the Hiluk Rebbe, the Magid, the kvittelach. And the Rebbe opens up the kvittelach and he says, what's this? someone already was mispowled for this. It's already done. It's already done. There's no need. What are you wasting my time? I see this was already taken care of. This, it was already taken care of. It was already taken care of. So no. He ties to that. He ties. Yeah.
Way to read a
avada. No, this is a chok. Yeah.
There's a
Messiah, there's Ruach HaKodesh, okay, there's the Koyach, handwriting. Today, when you bring a kvittel, you're not supposed to, the real way to bring a kvittel is you don't write your knees, you just write your name. You write your name, and that's it.
No, you write a general...
Today, because today, Neskadnu Hadoros. Neskadnu Hadoros. But the real Kvidlach, from the real Rebbe's, from the Friedrich Hadoros, says you just write your name, and the Rebbe looks at the name, and he knows everything.
Yeah.
He can see in the handwriting, he can see what the problem is, and he knows what to do.
You have the Rebbe's Gavra writing the Kvittel.
Well, today this whole thing is obviously, we're dealing over here, Minig Avasen Yadenu, we're talking about the real deal. This is a very nice story, how he ties Vitzir Emunim Marpe. The messenger, he already brought about the refuah. The Tzir Emunim, the Rav Zusha, this is the story, you can make some modern day application. The Tzir Emunim, Rav Zusha, he was a faithful messenger to the Rebbe. He himself, Marpe, on the way to the Rebbe, he read the Kvitlach and he already brought the Yeshua to the Nitzrachim. Beautiful little story to tie into this pasuk. Okay, we didn't do the Rashi yet. Rashi pasuk Yitzayin, Malach Resha Yipol Berah. Okay, the Malach Rosha, an evil messenger, a person who deviates from the mission. Who is this a reference to? So what does the Medrash say? Bilam. Bilam, Sha'am Lai Kadosh Baruch Hu, Leich Im Hu Anoshim, Be'ershia Lehasi Levolak Eitza Ro'ah Lekach Nofal Becheref. The Medrash very simply says, and in fact, I don't even have this over here in my Sefer, they didn't bring this down, but it refers still to Bilam HaRosha, he is the messenger. He was the messenger. He gave advice to Balak after he saw that he was unsuccessful in cursing Klal Yisrael, that you should cause them to be nichshelim gili arayos. As a punishment for that, he himself was killed. He was killed b'charef. The tzir emunim marpe ze Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu took the nechash hanachoshes. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the people were nichshol in the Midian, he took the nechash hanachoshes and when he lifted all the way up to the sky, was that the ma'isa of the Midian, the nechash hanachoshes? If I'm mistaken?
No, it was after.
Was it a different ma'isa? I don't remember. There was the Ketores. The Ketores. Nechash and Nechash was a different Maisa. That was when they complained. That was when they complained about the water. They were bitten by the snakes. But Moshe Rabbeinu was marked with the Ketores. There was a Magefa. 24,000 people died. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew what to do. He was marked with the Ketores. Maher, he told Aaron, bring the Ketores. And bring the Ketores to Pesach HaMachaneh. And that will cause the Magefa to end. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu know to do this? When he went to Shemayim for 40 days for 120 days, they taught him in Shemayim, he got a gift from the Satan, the Malach HaMaves. I'm giving you a gift. The gift is, if ever I gave for the way you can prevent me from continuing is by offering the Keteres. So this was Moshe who knew how to bring healing to Klal Yisrael. Moshe is called, and it's a beautiful medrash for this very similar reason. The medrash of the year says, if you want a marshal of an individual who we can call the faithful person, it is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the model of the tzir Emunim, the faithful messenger. He was the one who delivered the Torah, the intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and Tzir Emunim. Now why is he called Emunim faithful? What's the faith? What is the faith? This draws upon a very important Maamar Chazal, that there's a mitzvah for a shliach to return to the Meshaleach and say to him, Asisi Shlucho Shlichosecha. I've done your mission. There is a mitzvah for the messenger to return to one who sent and says, I have fulfilled the mission. That is, and we learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Hashem knows everything, when Hashem told him to go to Klal Yisrael to ask them, do they want to receive the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Hashem and he said, Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, they want. They want Nasa Venishma. They're interested in doing what you have to say, and that's why it fits very well, because that's why he's faithful. What's the faithful? It's not just he does the mission without deviating. faith is more than that. It's to go the extra step. It's to complete the cycle and to return. That's the emunah. See, emunah has a concept which means the full cycle. The full cycle is to come back and repay. It's not a one-way trip. What is emunah? We have a faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu that we return to our Kadosh Baruch Hu what He does to us. Hashem is good to us. We reciprocate by acknowledging that what You're doing to us is for our best. There is a return. There is a you close the circle. That's an idea that is captured in the idea of emunah, and that's why we apply it to the word tzir emunim. You have to return to your messenger, and Moshe Rabbeinu certainly fits that description. He was the one that indeed came back to. We learned that concept from him. So let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches says Reish v'koloin parea musar. Poverty. Reish means poverty and shame. Parea musar, cause. Musar to be undone, to be loosened. But the shomer toichachas yichubad is honor. Let's look at a more precise translation in the Mitzvah of Stavit Pasuk Yudches Reish. Anios ubizayon. Reish means poverty. Rush. A rush is a poor man. Rush Limbaugh is one of the richest men in America.
Rush Limbaugh.
Not the richest. Rush Limbaugh. And yet his name is Rush. It's a Pella. It's an amazing Pella. I was once in Yeshiva, and I know they called the Rosh Yeshiva the Rosh. The Rosh. And I was sitting in Yeshiva, sitting during second Seder, and there was a guy schmoozing away, and he's talking politics. He was talking then about Bill Clinton, about Hillary. And I thought he said, the Rosh said this. The Rosh said this. The Rosh. And what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Rosh Yeshiva, he's not involved in politics. He doesn't know politics. He doesn't know what's going on. And it took me a long time to... I'm not talking about the Rosh. I'm talking about the Rosh. Okay, but Rosh v'koloin parea musa. Rosh is anios ubezoid mi'utadim. Are designated, are earmarked, are directed, lovo al hamavatal musa, lovo to come upon al hamavatal hamusa, to a person that is mavatal musa, a person who loosens. He's translating the word parea to be mavatal, to undo, to remove the koich of musa. Aval hashomer beliboi divrei hatoichochoi, a person that is a guardian of words of musa, yichubod min habrius, will one day receive honor from man. Let's see Rashi Pasik Yud Ches. Reish v'koloin dalois poverty, v'koloin shame. Boim kam al parea musa, kam upon a person that loosens, takes away from the world discipline. Okay, what does it say? I don't have any medrash, but it's a very frightening thing that in this, in our own lifetimes, we've seen how things that were never would have been done suddenly today have become loosened on television. Things that when we grew up, never ever would you hear, see. It was just unheard of. It's taboo. So today, it's been loosened. There's no...
Anything goes.
This is a very, very, very... that's what it says. Reish v'klon. This is not going to lead to good things. It's going to lead to poverty. It's going to shame. But a person that will come along and shomer, to safeguard, to bring back what should be, Yechubad, this individual will be honored. Okay, we will stop over here.